The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
That terrible fake punt play by the Colts the other night. Pat McAfee, the punter, was on a show.
The point of the play is to be a deception play. The gunner, who then became the center all week, was Clayton Gethers. Clayton Gethers gets injured.
Oh.
Insert Griff Whalen, who had never done it before.
Gotcha.
The guy who's responsible for running the play, if he's hurt, you pull that play out of the playbook.
Yeah.
Joey Weaver sent me this. He went back and took what he thought would be the top 16 quarterbacks in the NFL. Interestingly enough, not a single one has been drafted since 2012.
It's been a while since there's been a sure thing prospect at quarterback.
No, and I don't know if that gets back to the spread offenses. When you start looking at it, if you're talking about Manning, Brady, and Breeze, along with Rodgers, those have been your elite guys. Well, those three probably don't have much time left.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at Johnny Football, at Degenerates975. And you can also text the show, 713-780-3776. If you missed the first 2 hours, all available on podcastarena.com. And also now available on podcastarena.com is the long-awaited introduction to sports betting by myself and Mr. Hoffman. And you can download it now for just $12.99. So, there's a few glitches as we go along, and we'll get them fixed. And mostly involving smartphones, but I think we've got that worked out now. So, if you've ever enjoyed, if you want to learn a little bit about sports betting, if you're not into it, cool. But if you are and you want to learn a little bit about it, we got you covered. If we ever made you a few bucks on a bet somewhere, then buy it just as a thank you. So, haven't had a chance to talk too much baseball today, but Big Chris is on the line. He wants to talk a little bit about the Mets. So, let's go to Big Chris.
Hey, guys. May the sports be with you.
Sports.
And a long time, no talk. Just real quick, I'm wondering two things. One, I love the fact that the Mets swept the Cubs. I'm wondering how you guys, besides the rest that's good, how do you think the layoff is going to affect them being so hot right now? And then my top three, top four to smoke with would be Betty White, Seth Rogen, John Oliver, and I don't know, whoever else you want to put in there.
You only get three anyway. You're the fourth guy if you're going to smoke with them.
I don't think it's, you know, I never can tell how a layoff's going to affect a team. When you're playing really well, I think that's the last thing you want. But by the same token, it's such a different thing from series to series, and it all comes down to matchups and how you're playing at the time. But boy, they're playing really good baseball. That game was over in the second inning last night. Everybody's talking about the GOAT curse, but did you see the Murphy curse? Maybe people are missing the boat on the Cubs.
No.
Okay. Well, let me throw you this. We'll see if you find this. Actually, I think we need the conspiracy theory music, John. The creepy conspiracy theory.
That dude's a beast, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get to him. The name of the cursed Cubs Billy Goat. Murphy.
Oh no.
The owner of the Cubs in 1908, the last time they won the World Series, Charles Murphy.
Mm.
The GM of the Mets in 1969. When they, Miracle Mets, who got beat the Cubs. Mets GM, Johnny Murphy. Hmm. Mets announcer, Bob Murphy. Last stadium they played in an NLCS at, Jack Murphy Stadium.
Yeah.
And the 2015 NLDS hero, Daniel Murphy. So, yeah, and now you have the Murphy curse.
Well, that is a pretty popular last name, I must say.
Really? How many Murphys do you know?
I don't know. Let me look at my phone.
I'm sure I know one or two.
I know exactly one.
Yeah?
Michael Murphy. You know Michael Murphy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Is he still over in China?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, when I covered the Cougars for the school paper, I used to run. I mean, we traveled together, so we started talking.
One of the best basketball players you will ever play with.
So he moved to China?
Yeah, he was teaching English over there. I don't know if he's... I think he stayed over there.
I know two.
Okay. That dude was, at 50 years old, the best point guard I've ever played with. I mean, he was fantastic. And he used to be on all those really good... He was the guy that was the best player on our really good teams where we kicked everybody's butt. But that dude could play some basketball, man. Funny dude. He and I got kicked out of a creative writing class together once.
Nice.
For me, it was one of those things that was kind of dumb. This was when I think I was getting my graduate degree, and we were in the class, and you'd have to get up there and read what you wrote, and some of the people in there were just awful, so we would make fun of them. And yeah, we got asked to leave a class one time. But it was funny.
Grow up, Fowler.
You would have done the same thing.
Never.
This guy's like 6'6", 400 pounds, and he wrote this poem. And he's sitting there, tears coming down his face about this poem that he wrote about his dad. And it was awful. We're just like, so you're supposed to ask questions about it. So we did. It's like, so why are you crying while you're reading this? I get real emotional over my dad, man. It's like.
Then the punchline is his dad's still alive. Well, very strange.
But I'm sorry. I don't quite get why you're emotional because it's not very good. And then. Yeah, he started making some comments about something I wrote, and I'm just like, well, I'm sorry, my crap's not as good as your poetry. And then we got asked to leave, so.
You should have fought him.
That dude was huge, man. He
crying already.
He would have sat on me. But, you know, soul of a poet, you know how that goes. But I can't remember what Murph said, but it was hilarious, and I started laughing, and the teacher just said, all right, you guys come back next week. Like, all right. And he worked for me at the Chronicle for several years. Good dude. Only Murphy I know, I think. So, anyway. 713-780-ESP is your number. 713-780-3776. So, just thought that was kind of a fun conspiracy theory on the Murphys. Jeez.
I do think that, any time off for those guys can't hurt you. I mean, obviously, it in a way, it sucks because the Mets get to set up their rotation the way they want. The thing is, though, all those Mets pitchers are studs.
Yeah, and they're all pitching great right now.
Yeah, and they're all very similar. So I don't think it's that huge of a deal. You're going to have to beat some good pitchers to beat the Mets anyway. I'm wondered if the Mets are going to be favored. That's a possibility.
It is a possibility. Although...
You wouldn't have said that going into the playoffs like that. I don't know if any NL team, I guess maybe the Cardinals would have been favored in a World Series, but not many. Not against everybody. But coming in, you would have said Blue Jays Royals winner definitely favored over Cubs Mets winner. And I don't know if that's going to be the case.
I love this. Texter's telling me I'm a total douche for making fun of a guy whose dad died. His dad wasn't dead, knucklehead. That was the point. That's why we're making fun of it. God, some of you guys are such losers. I'm embarrassed to read your tweets. I really am.
You're a loser, bro.
I am?
I don't know.
Yeah, come on, man. Making fun of me. Get out of here. Did you see that where the Rockets are picked to finish in the West by the annual NBA.com survey of general managers?
No, do tell.
John, do you care to guess?
In the West?
In the West.
I'm going to say fifth.
Ooh, that's low. I think that's too low.
So where would you put them?
I'll say fourth.
John, congratulations. You are the winner.
Damn you, John. You saw the story, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Liar.
Colin Cowherd, however, picked them to win the West. Oh, no, picked them to win it all.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah, serious. So, yeah, Colin's
he just
curse.
Did that because everybody thinks he hates Houston.
Well, he's trying to. Is his show even on here?
I don't think so.
Anyway, Golden State, not surprisingly, picked to to repeat.
It's hard to pick someone else.
I mean, San Antonio, you could make a case for. But that's who they have second.
This is just the Western Conference, right?
Just the Western Conference.
Okay, because I'm going to say Cleveland's still going
to
be
here. No, this is just to finish in the Western Conference. Golden State 1, San Antonio 2, Oklahoma City 3, the Clippers 4, Houston 5, Memphis 6. I would pick Houston over the Clippers. I don't know what about...
I think you can flip a coin with those.
Yeah, I don't even know what difference there is between those two teams from last year, really. I think the Rockets potentially... If you figure Dwight Howard's healthy all year, they should have a better record. And I don't know if the Clippers are any better. I don't know if they've added anything that I go, wow, that's great. And the Rockets might have added something with...
What are you talking about? They added Josh Smith, bro.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that.
And Pablo Prigioni. They're basically Rockets West. Chuck Hayes is on that team.
I think I'd rather have Ty Lawson if he can stay off the sauce.
You'd rather have Ty Lawson than Chris Paul?
No, than the guys they added. Okay. And I'm talking about guys that were added in the offseason.
Okay.
So, Jeremy says...
I'm interested to see how Paul Pierce plays for that team. I think that he may be a... Because that's a team that seems like they're... Even though Chris Paul by now should be a leader, it seems like they need someone to kind of hold everything together. Maybe he can be that guy. And we're going to see how J.J. Redick responds to playing a lot more minutes. But I think the Clippers and Rockets are two teams you could... shake those up in a bag and pull one out, and
yeah,
they're about the same team.
I think I like the Rockets better going in, but
You know what else I like about the Clippers better? They've got a better coach.
Yeah, although I'm not so sold on him anymore either. I mean, some of the things that he did in that series were pretty bad too. Josh said, I just got Temple minus -1.5. Is that a sucker bet? Dude, you were getting +3 on him. And you only get it minus -0.5.
I don't know if that got bet down. Mm. I hope that's not the case. But if so, yes, that's a sucker bet.
Yep. Good luck.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a really good game. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Temple won the game, but I think that this is kind of where their dream run comes to an end. But if they win this, then the road is a lot clearer. I'll say that.
Mm. Lamont asked, did we hear the Lopez versus Andre Ware thing this morning? Now, I'll be honest, I haven't heard that show in years. I don't
wake up that early. I listen to Stern, but
when I do get up that early,
I'm definitely not listening to John Lopez.
I'm usually doing show prep or working out or something in the mornings. I never take the car out anywhere, so that's the only time I ever listen to other shows, and I don't do that very often anyway. So no, I didn't hear it. I saw him tweet out about it. It was about, I guess it had something to do with people not wanting to go to UH because it's a bad neighborhood and see the games. And I would just say, yeah, it's not a great neighborhood, but the game day experience is pretty damn safe.
You know, there was somebody tweeted us earlier about, I guess the president of UH tweeted out to show up for the game if you want to keep Tom Herman as the head coach. All right.
Well, it's going to be kind of hard to show up for the game since it's in –
I'm saying the game's going forward.
And I think people will. And really, realistically, that Texas State crowd was pretty good when I was there. There weren't that many empty seats. And the SMU game was just that was unfortunate that was on a Thursday night opposite the Astros playoffs and the Texans. Yeah. I'm not going to blame people for not going to that. But I think moving forward, your next home game is Vanderbilt. That ought to get a pretty good crowd. And then you get Cincinnati, Memphis. I mean, that's a good run of teams. I think you will pack the place.
I'm going to try to make it out to a UH game and a Rice game, if not this year, next year. I've lived here long enough. I feel like I should probably
come out to one of those UH games with us while they're good. It's a lot of fun. So
yeah,
and we tailgate, we drink, we play poker, we do all kinds of fun stuff. That's before the game.
That's stuff you do at big time sporting events.
Man, huh? Get out of here! Get out of here!
I kid,
Of that team that you worship in Austin right now?
I don't worship any team.
Anyway.
But I do understand why they drink before games. All right, guys, it's fantasy season, and I need to tell you about this app. If you haven't gotten on this thing yet, you need to get on it. Sports Manias, it's an awesome app. It's going to help dominate your leagues. Go to the app. Go to the app store, pardon me. The app is free. Search for Sports Manias, one word. And it'll give you a leg up on your competition. You import your teams from Yahoo, CBS Sports, ESPN, and you'll get personalized feeds from fantasy football experts that include breaking news, scoring opportunities, fantasy points, and milestones. Get real-time updates on your players and just your players to help you make smarter lineup decisions. You know, you don't have to sift through Twitter and look at everybody's, you know, everybody's health status and things like that. You're just going to read about your guys. I've been using this app. It helps me a lot because I've got teams on several different formats, and this kind of consolidates all my players so I can know what's going on with them. Super easy to navigate, very user-friendly. Give it a try, guys. It's free. What do you have to lose? Sportsmania, a brand-new fantasy tool that's going to give you an edge to help dominate your leagues. Get on your cell or tablet now. Go to the App Store and download Sportsmanias for free. That's Sportsmanias. Get on it. You wanna have peace, gotta love one
another. You're listening to The Blitz, The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hello, friends. My name is Wooly B. I've been around sports betting since the age of three. I grew up on race tracks and my grandpa.
And we are back on the Blitz.
Don't play the game.
And we're going to talk a little gambling. It's been kind of a gambling themed day. Good buddy Wooly B joins us, runs Fat Side of the Bacon. What's going on, Wooly?
Hello, friends. Hey, how about these baskets we've been putting out? These baskets of three have kind of been working, haven't it?
Yeah, you've been doing all right with those, man. You got one for the people?
I think I might have one for the people. Real quick, I just need to ask you, how's your CFL going this year, Fred? I know we're getting close to the playoff. How's your CFL going this year?
I'm actually having my worst year in the last three. I'm right about 62%. So,
and then it comes and goes. Is it because there's been, it seems like to me, a plethora, how about Wooly B? I got a little vocabulary. A plethora of dogs this year. Is it because the league is more 500? Homeostasis altogether? Is that what's giving you problems?
No, I think what got me this year is so many quarterback injuries. Almost at one point, almost every starter in the league was out, and a lot of them were happening mid game, and I'd wind up not covering, so I kind of started backing off a little bit. But gotcha. You know, I wasn't gonna. I know damn well I wasn't gonna do 86% again. So
no,
I you know, 62% is not where I want to be, but it's not. Yeah, it's certainly not bad.
You climbed Rushmore last year, that's for sure.
Yeah,
hey, real quick, I'm going to let people know, 249 all the way through Turkey Day, 249 still all the way through Turkey Day, and you can use that as a credit after we get done. Y'all been getting my plays. This has kind of been one of the best years that I've ever had where we've only had one bad, either a pro or college out of the six, seven, eight weeks we've been doing, and what's been really nice, I've been doing good on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night games. There, you know, the over and the dadgum Colts, even though it was a backdoor the other night. But 249 through Turkey Day, let's talk about them, and I will give you just a quick basket. I'm going to go with some teams playing against teams who just had their dadgum Super Bowl win the previous week, if you know what I mean, right?
Okay.
So let's start tomorrow night. I'm going to get people off. If they've never heard me before, it's hatsideofthebacon.com. Right. Let's wait. Let's make some Dr. Peppers. Let's make some bonus dollars early. Then you can jump on board with us. It starts tomorrow. Have you ever seen a letdown spot? And man, I could go through the percentages. Memphis on the road at Tulsa.
Double digits.
Give me the Tulsa plus 10.5 tomorrow night after Memphis beating Ole Miss. And let's take the other dog. So it's a two-game basket. It's a two-game basket. We're not going to get greedy. Try to go 2-1. No, I want 2-0 for the people. Tomorrow night, San Diego State Aztecs with that defense plus the 5.5 against Utah State coming off the big win against Boise. So get out there, peeps. Tulsa Hurricane, San Diego State, home dog. Let's make those Dr. Peppers and come join Fat Sack come weekend.
Yeah, I love those Friday night home dogs. And Tulsa got there with a backdoor cover for me last week at the last minute. So, and that's not a bad football team in Memphis. Boy, they've got to be due for a letdown. I like that play quite a bit, Wooly. I think I'm with you on that one in particular.
I always like to hear that. I want to hear the Falcon on my side.
Let me ask you about this game because it's a game we've been asked about far and away the most this week. Utah and USC.
I know where you're going. Is it a college game?
It is. Utah and USC. Utah is a 3.5 point dog to USC, and I've been telling people all week, If you're just blindly clicking a number on Utah and thinking it's free money, you're out of your damn mind. I it's too close of a call for me to make, but do you have a good feel for that game?
I don't have a feel, but it's a rule. It's a rule, dadgum, AJ. and that's when the non-ranked team is favored over the ranked team. And let me tell you this. I don't, you know, sometimes you see the non-ranked team like A&M earlier this year favored over 16th-ranked Arizona State, and you say, oh, I can see that. But my gosh, I don't think I've ever seen a non-ranked team. I don't care if it's USC, whatever. The numbers say what it is. Favored over number 6 and my favorite number of 3.5, which goes towards the favorite, not the dog. I'm going to let you know a little secret. Your boy Wooly, I'm talking third person just for this little bit, went west for 36 hours here earlier this week. I'm sitting dead gum at a sports book, not to be named, and I see a bunch of yahoos, 20-somethings. AJ, you're not in the 20s anymore, are you?
Not even close.
Okay, good. You look 20-something, though. I love you. But I see
thank
a bunch
you.
Of 20-year-olds
party,
and they're high-fiving each other, and they're just plopping down money. They're plopping down money. I'm going, I got to hear them. And, of course, it was on Utah plus the points against USC. Bang the drum, blow the whistle. It's the biggest sucker bet of the year. That side of the bank in USC Trojans. And I'm going to money line it, but minus the points. I don't care.
All right. Willie, what about this A&M-Mississippi game? These two teams strike me as sort of the same team. And you're getting 5 points with the Aggies. I know it's at Ole Miss, but anything on that one at all?
Man, I just draw a blank pie face because I think you could go either way with this. And I know A&M's defense is much improved, and I'm kind of talking myself like it, don't love it. I think you take A&M just because of the defense and what Ole Miss has showed lately. They don't have the defense, really, that A&M might have. And A&M, if you really take away the turnovers, the game's not as lopsided as it was. I know Henry ran it down our throats. But I say our because, you know, I'm an Aggie. But now if I had to just do something, like it, don't love it, not even, I mean, I got 5 or 6 college games I just like so much. You heard one of them. But this A&M Ole Miss game, I'm just pulling for my eggs. If I had to do something, I'd take the points. If Ole Miss was at A&M getting 6, you'd probably hear the flip side. I'd like Ole Miss. I'll take eggs and 6.
I got 2 games where, we talked about playing your Super Bowl last week. And Alabama, their Super Bowl is the Super Bowl, or at least the college football version of the Super Bowl. But they played a really big game last week, obviously. And now they're going up against a Tennessee team who was a kind of a hot commodity early in the season. Tennessee falling off a little bit, but still getting 15 points. Am I crazy to like Tennessee getting more than a couple touchdowns?
No, you're not crazy. You know, I listen to Feinbaum because Feinbaum is one of the few people that never talks about point spreads and points and just tells it like it is. He thinks Tennessee has a chance here. I think he's right. You know, I've been on Tennessee all year. It cost us in 2 close games with OU in Florida, and then they came back on the only 2-star game of the year against Georgia. So I love the Vols. Overall this year as a team, I think they're better than what their record indicates. There's something about this, though, and maybe it's because, AJ, all I've heard all week is you got to take Tech in the 15 against OU, and you got to take Tennessee in the 15 against Alabama. And when I hear that so much, I tend to drift away. So in my mind, those are a little basket of games where I think it's a split. So I'm just backing away. But if I had to do something, I'm taking Tech and I'm taking Tennessee, but I'm not giving it to my people because I think it's a split and I have to do both. So if I had to do anything, I do like Tennessee even better than the Aggs. In fact, I hadn't put out my weekend plays. I only put out Thursday and Friday. You probably saw. I almost did Tennessee. They're on my like next batch. I have 5 or 6 I like so much. Tennessee's in my 6 through 10, if you will.
The other game is a matchup of two teams who just played the same opponent, and they had drastically different results. Kansas State basically got murdered on a football field by Oklahoma, and Texas in their last appearance upset OU. I don't know that warrants Texas being a 7-point favorite, though, which is what the number is up to now. Started out 4.5, 5.5. Now it's up to -7 for Texas. It's difficult for me to play because Texas coming off the bye week sort of changes things a little bit, but it seems like this would be a letdown spot for Texas and sort of a get-back spot for Kansas State.
Wow, you know, so many people always ask me, did y'all rehearse and talk about the games that you're going to talk about? And we don't. Do we, guys? Tell
no,
them
we don't.
And this is not even still going to be one of my top 5 or 6 college games. I love Texas coming out at -3, and I loved how it went to 4. And I looked up today, and it's 7 all of a sudden. I'm like, wait a minute now. And then I go into the database, and I see Wildcats 9-1 against the spread after allowing more than 35 points. And old Snyder, ready for this? 12-0. This is from our friend Mark Lawrence, because I don't have a deep data bank like this. But Mark, Bill Snyder, 12-0 against the spread off of a loss of 28 or more points in his career. Snyder, he's undefeated after he lost by 28 or more points in his career. No, thank you. Again, it's almost like the Tennessee, even better than the Tennessee. Give me Kansas State. Like it, don't love it. It's still up in my top five or six, but give me the Kansas State plus 7.5. I think the Horns win, but I think it's close.
To the NFL real quickly, the Dolphins woke up last week with the coaching change. I'm sure you have some stats on guys who are basically first-time coaches and how they do in their second games. Is there anything on this Texans-Dolphins game that would indicate it's worth playing?
Man, when the line came out at 5, I really thought this would be one that would run up to 7, and it didn't. And so that gets me off either side. I think the Dolphins are going to win by a field goal. I don't think the Texans are a good enough team to go on the road and win a game. I think the Dolphins are riding a little momentum here with Campbell and what they just physically dominated. Again, it was Tennessee, right? So we don't have enough of a scope of games to go either side. And it's kind of the same way, guys. I love 4 or 5 programs this week, so I'm not going to try to guess. Right now, the way it's – I'm going to still go with Miami. Just Miami's a money line. Miami's a teaser. I hate teasers. You can tell in my voice, I'm waffling on this game, so it's a no play. I love Miami when it came out, but when they pushed it down, I think Miami wins by a field goal.
All right, Willie, one more time, tell them about the special you got going on.
249 all the way through Turkey Day. If you're not up, bottom line is you're going to get credited that, but we're on a roll. That side of the bacon is going to continue to be on a roll. 249 through Turkey Day, and then you can use that credit if then you want to go all the way through the Super Bowl and bowls and everything with us. Probably just be another 249. It might not even be that. Backsideofthebacon.com. Jump on board with us. Again, I got about a handful of Saturday games. I got 4 pro games. I've given you a couple others that I actually like. Thank you, AJ, on the Tennessee. Like Kansas State. I like 4 or 5 even better. And Fred, I know you like this. There are some no-name teams that no one will think about. Backsideofthebacon.com. Jump on board, guys. Let's have another big weekend.
All right. Thanks, Willie. Good stuff, man. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Willie will probably
appreciate like, it, guys. Appreciate the time.
He'll probably like I'll be on Virginia Tech as well, who's a favored team that's not ranked against Duke, who is ranked.
Yeah. I like that Tulsa play. I really do. That's probably one of my my 3 for tomorrow. All right.
I was going to, the NFL is tough this week. There are almost every line is 3 or 4 points. I mean, there's a couple outliers, like New England, the Jets is 9, I think. And then the game tonight is a pretty big line, 6.5. But for the most part, they're all 2, 3, 4, 5 point lines. Those are tough.
That's when I tend to play teasers. Because whenever the lines are where they make sense and NFL games are so close, that's where I think about doing that. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Only got 2 seconds left. Wow. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hello, friends. My name is Wooly B.
ESPN 97.5.
Texas Kansas State College Football, 11 a.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Lamont brings up kind of an interesting point talking about the UH thing. It says Minute Maid, NRG, and Toyota are not in the best hoods and fan show. It's just kind of silly. NRG's not in a good neighborhood. Minute Maid, if you get off in the wrong area over there, I mean, it's fine up until there. It's just like UH. There's one area.
NRG is so interesting because it's in like a transition between a really nice neighborhood and a really crappy part of town. So, I mean,
I don't know where the nice neighborhood is over there.
Like if you go up in the Med Center area, which isn't.
Yeah, that's Houston everywhere. There's areas of great stuff next to areas of bad stuff.
Right.
NRG is not in a good area. That whole area around Maine is a mess. Minute Maid's in a pretty good area unless you get off behind 59 and start getting off over into the some of that area Edo that isn't developed yet. And I would say the same thing about the soccer stadium. I mean, it's, you know, it's right next to some good stuff, but you get a little too far into that parking area, it's not good. Toyota Center's actually in a pretty good spot. There's not too much around there. It's kind of out by itself. So, but
what's funny is Toyota Center and Minute Maid are like three blocks apart.
But you know what? There's so many places around here where you can be driving through a great neighborhood, and then you take a right-hand turn, and then you're in a crap neighborhood where you might get shot.
Yeah.
And that's Houston. You just got to know where to stay out of. And honestly, I think the UH thing is just silly because – and I go there all the time. But especially now with that train going through there, I mean, the games themselves are really safe. It's if you wind up in the wrong neighborhood, you know, that's where it can get bad. But
yeah,
that's anywhere, man. You take the wrong turn down there by NRG – You could find yourself in a mess too, but that anybody who lives in Houston knows that, and you know the bad places, and just stay away from them. So
that's what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go out very often, but I've got certain spots I've got no need to go to.
But you know, I know where to go and where not to in this city. I've been here long enough, and I know there are certain areas I wouldn't go after dark, but I have no problem. I never worry about going to UH game. There's always plenty of cops there. I just know not to get on that other side over there. That's it.
What about you, Jung? You feel safe over there by UH?
Well,
at night?
When I first I attended a UTSA my freshman year,
trying to
get into UT through the CAP program, it didn't really happen. I think I told you this story before. I spent my entire freshman year playing video games and not studying or whatnot. But my
there you go.
My first.
Now look at you.
I know. My first day on campus, I didn't know that the parking at U of H, before they added the garages were just god-awful. And you had to, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, when most everybody started, you know, majority of people took their classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I got to campus about 45 to an hour before my class, and I couldn't find a parking spot until maybe 30 minutes after my class started. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to grab lunch before my next class. I finally got a parking spot. So I go across the street to Popeyes because I was really hungry. I go in there and the Popeyes, this is the only Popeyes that I've seen or any fast food restaurant I've seen with bulletproof glass in front of the cash register. So I could kind of tell that some of the areas weren't safe, and you can tell which areas that are, and I try to avoid those I learned my lesson. I had no problems going to I went there a couple more times because, you know, it's Popeyes, but
there's so many good places on campus now. You never have to leave.
And now
there's a Frenchie's there. Why would you go to Popeyes?
Well, I didn't know there was a Frenchie's there, and I'd never heard of Frenchie's before I started going to U of H. A year later, people told me about Frenchies. But you know, there's, like you guys were saying, there's certain parts of town, and it goes for on campus too, where you try to avoid downtown. Used to be like that, and it's getting a little better. I went to Eighth Wonder Brewery several months ago, and that's not in the best part of the town. It's smelly and it's a little run down.
But that area is developing. Actually growing.
Yeah, it is developing. But when I visited Chicago, people told me not to go south of downtown. So I avoided south of downtown. And people say East St. Louis is in rough shape. And there's always parts of every town and every city that you try to avoid and people do avoid. So,
but,
and same goes for U of H campus.
I'm usually pretty good about, like, I don't ever feel like scared walking around neighborhoods in Houston. And I'm sure there's some that if I went to, maybe I would. But those neighborhoods, there's nothing for me there anyway, so I have no reason to be there. You know, I got no reason to walk up and down Telephone Road in the middle of the night because what the hell am I doing there? You know, so I you know, there, it's rare that I find myself in a position where I'm like, what the hell am I doing on this side of town at night in Houston? I think it's a little bit overblown. Like the bad parts of Houston.
I agree. And hey, I walk around downtown all the time, and I'm more worried about that main bus area, train area on Main Street where all the homeless go and sell drugs on Sunday morning than I am any other place in the city.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's fine. I'll walk all over downtown. Now, there have been a lot of jackings over in Midtown, which I don't go to that far side of Midtown. And that's because there's money there,
right.
I think is what it is. They're basically hitting up the trust fund douches.
Yeah, that's why I don't drive a Benz. That, and I don't have the money for it. Mm. The worst I ever felt was I got lost in Memphis and ended up on the wrong side of Memphis. Oof. And at the time, I drove a turquoise 69 Cadillac DeVille convertible. Turquoise with white leather. And I'm lost in Memphis. I have to stop at a gas station because I'm out of gas. That thing got like 8 miles to the gallon or something ridiculous. And I pull up to this gas station, which doesn't take credit cards, which that's number one. If you pull up to a gas station and there's no place for you to put your credit card, what is going on with you? Why are you there? That's how I felt. So I had to go inside, and of course I got called every white racial slur that there is. But the key is to remain confident and remain quiet.
I think where are we going?
Because I don't think people are looking to just jack you in the middle of the day. No, you know what I mean?
No. This is more like give me a reason kind of thing.
Yeah. So if you're going to UH for a football game in the middle of the day and you're worried about getting jacked, you should probably just quit running your mouth.
And there's so many people there that nothing's going to – I've never, ever seen anything happen on the campus or near a football game.
No. By the way, I didn't finish that story. I got raped and thrown in the trunk of that Cadillac, and it was stolen.
And look at you today.
I got dumped in a riverbed, and here I am today. Perfectly fine and not emotionally scarred at all.
Well, I would say I've been almost to every area of Houston. I've never really been scared anywhere or worried anywhere.
Been stabbed?
No,
been raped?
I've had a knife pulled on me here, but that was a long time ago.
Bro, I'm faster than that knife. I'm scared. You pull a gun on me, I'm scared, but I'm faster than your knife.
There was this that area, Fred, you were talking about on Maine. I got lost and I kind of got that way. And there was a guy in a mental hospital getup, wandering, and he had like shaggy white hair, like really, really long. And he was like talking to himself in the middle of the street. And I was like, that's the scaredest I've ever been in the city of Houston, this guy was like crazy.
Don't, and this is, I struggle with this because when I see crazy people or people who are definitely using drugs, and they're acting a fool, my initial instinct is to grab my camera and video all of it. But crazy people hate when you video them acting crazy.
Yeah.
Like, fake crazy people don't mind it because they're attention whores. Real crazy people, they don't like that. So don't film the crazies. It's just not worth it. Even though you think it is at the time, you're like, oh, I can't wait to show my buddies this and we're all going to laugh. No, and it's not funny when the video ends with you getting stabbed in the neck. All right, guys, going to tell you about DFC Interior Cleaning. If you can see the dirt or the mud on your floor, just imagine what you can't see with the naked eye. Bacteria, allergens, flea eggs. DFC is your one-stop resource for all your carpet, tile, and upholstery needs. So save yourself some time by trusting DFC to do the job for you. I've used DFC for a long time. Used them in Austin. I use them here in Houston. They do fantastic work, and they leave your floors looking like new. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals. They don't use soap or chemicals, which can damage your carpet fibers like a lot of the other guys do. They've got the non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water and truck-powered equipment, and that technology is what really sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they don't come back. And it's not just carpet. They'll do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, and they'll do it all with that unique patented technology. Call right now. You'll get a family four-pack to the Texas Renaissance Festival. Also, Texas Renfest, what a bad neighborhood, right? With any purchase, 4 free tickets to the Texas Renaissance Fest, and the perfect end to an activity-packed day at the Renfest is to come home to a clean house. And that starts with Dirt Free. Call 281-347-8373, 281-347-8373, or visit DFC online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for DFC. Ever looking back, we will drive ourselves
insane as the friendship goes. We send. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. We're having lunch out on Fridays. Each Friday, John and Raheel and Unfiltered will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Kick your weekend off, right, with ESPN 97.5. I may try to swing by there tomorrow before the show, and haven't been to Nick's in a while. Love that place. So check it out. That's John and Raheel with Dell. Although I think Dell stays here, right?
Yes, he produces the show.
Okay, so he kind of like you don't get to go out with us very often.
Yes.
Hard times.
Which we need to get that fixed. We need to get somebody to come in and fill in so John can go out with us because people love John. All right, before we get to Hoffman on Hollywood, just one last time, if you have any problems downloading the audiobook, just email Jorge. His email address is on there. He'll get you taken care of. We've got it fixed now. There were some people were having trouble downloading it to their smartphones, and we found the fix there, so we've got it worked out, and it's all good. So you get a chance to check it out. So hopefully you guys will enjoy it. And then 979 says, nice meeting you in the hallway today, Fred. I think you were headed to take a piss. No, actually, I was headed to try to get this worked out with the downloads. So, sorry I didn't get to stay and talk longer, but it's one of the things that I was just trying to make sure we got this working for everybody because, you know, it's a brand new startup thing, so there's going to be some issues, and so that's what I was dealing with. But we got it all fixed, and seems to be going well, and hopefully people will enjoy it. All right, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
All right. You know, I left out all Chloe and Lamar stuff for this week because we talked about it a lot already. Michelle Duggar has some sex advice. Ladies, listen up. Michelle and Jim Bob just celebrated their 31st wedding anniversary. And she passed out the same advice that she did to her daughters. And the advice is pretty much... anybody can make lunch for him. He can get his lunch somewhere else. But you're the only one who can meet that special need he has in his life for intimacy. What he's basically saying is, even when you don't want to do it, you better do it. I'm going to say sage advice. Sage advice from the Duggars. Yeah. So be available. Be joyfully available for him. Smile and be willing to say, yes, sweetie, I'm here for you no matter what. Even though you may be exhausted and big and pregnant, and you may not feel like he feels, you still have to be there and say that you want him because you know it's a need. So if you have a husband like Jong who lays around and plays video games his entire freshman year, and you work, and you're pregnant, and you're barefoot, and you come home, you cook dinner for him, and you give him sex because he deserves it, right?
I agree.
Because if you don't give it to him, he might just take it from someone. And that's what Bill Cosby's been accused of doing over and over and over and over. And now he's lost his lawyer. It's bad when your lawyer, like in a high-profile case, is like, nah, man, I'm out on this. There's a lot of money to be made off of a Bill Cosby defense. Marty Singer apparently has decided he's out. Singer's departure from Cosby's legal team is laid out in court papers, but the reasons why he's no longer his attorney are pretty murky. Singer's represented other troubled entertainers in the past, including Charlie Sheen. So that's not good when a guy's like, yeah, I'm willing to take on Charlie Sheen, but not Bill Cosby. Nothing quite like the press that's ensued after more than 40 women alleged they were victims to rape at the hands of Cosby. One of these women is Judy Huth, who alleges she was sexually assaulted 4 decades ago at the Playboy Mansion and was a minor at the time, which could cancel out all statute of limitations. Mm. Which is funny that, you know, raping an 18-year-old, there's a statute of limitations on that. You rape a 16, 17-year-old, that one's coming back to get you. I'm not sure if I feel good about that, but either whatever gets him got is what I figure. The highest paid comedians in the whole wide world, Fred. Who would be your guest, number one on the list?
Doesn't Adam Sandler make a ridiculous amount for his movies?
This is for stand-up comedians.
About Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart's number two on the list. Some of the notables on that list, Kevin Hart, number two. Dave Chappelle,
was number 10 his first year back to touring. I'm sure he'll get back up there soon. Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy, was number 8 on the list. Louis C.K. was number 7. Kevin Hart, as you guessed, was number 2. Jeff Dunham was number 4. Number 1, Jerry Seinfeld.
Wow.
$36 million from his stand-up.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, as much as I don't like Kevin Hart in movies, somebody saw you really need to see his stand-up. I've seen a couple of them now.
Solid.
He's very good. Yeah, I have to say. All right, that's going to wrap it up. We'll be back tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.